Welcome back live on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Asylum at AsylumFantasyFootball.com.
Yes, indeed. Welcome aboard, and glad to have you with us. You can also find us on iTunes. We got some house cleaning about this to let you know about, because we're doing some changes with the iTunes feed, because it's just going to be a lot easier to find.
Absolutely. Check us out on Twitter, at Asylum Football. Shoot us an email, asylumfootball@gmail.com. So real quick, we'll get this house cleaning stuff out of the way early, as Rick alluded to. We've had a little issue with our iTunes feed and our server, basically, for the podcast. If you prefer to listen to a podcast, just go to our website, asylumfantasyfootball.com, on the right-hand side. The area to download the show and our iTunes link are both there. They are new, effective July 31st. We'll be switching completely over to that one. So if you're subscribing on iTunes, hurry up and subscribe on the new one.
Yeah, just, you know, if you want to find it, if you don't click the link, if you happen to be on iTunes, just put in Asylum Football and the current link will pop us right on up there, and just subscribe to that one, because the previous one will end, what, July 31st, right, Rick?
31st. It will end with our boy Z-Bull in the chat room. It will end with his special Buffalo Bills episode when he joins us next Tuesday. So flip over, subscribe to the new one. Hey, check out, too, if you want to help out the show, you'll see on our site a little link for the Fantasy Six Man. He's helping out the show. We've partnered up with him. If you need any replacement owner services, he's got a lot of cool things going on at Fantasy Six Man. Check it out there. It'll help out your league and help out the show.
And if you need some replacement services, be it fantasy football, hockey, baseball, whatever it is, use the promo code Sanchise, and you will save some money on his services.
Absolutely. And maybe even bass fishing, like old Trader X did. I don't know if he's into that, but we'll find out. So I think that's about enough of that stuff, Rick. They didn't come here to listen to us shill for everything in the world, including ourselves. So tonight's show, the last in our series of breaking down all the divisions, the AFC South we have today. And as you look at it, some big names coming out of there. We'll hit a couple headlines early on. Not a whole lot going on. I think the biggest one for us, anyhow, is you pointed out, Rick, I wasn't even aware of it. It must have happened while I was slaving away for the end today.
Sleeping,
that too. The Steelers extend Mike Tomlin through 2016. Not a lot of fantasy impact, just some good news for Steeler fans.
Well, it certainly could have some fantasy impact as long as he stays there. They could have a competitive edge, at least that way. But, yeah, that's good news. He's a good coach and seems to uphold the Steeler tradition real well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A seamless transition for him. Sticking with the Steelers real briefly, haven't seen a lot of details on it. There are rumblings, there are stories going around camp that Mike Wallace and the Steelers are actually close to a five-year deal, I believe they said, which I find is a surprise. I sort of thought they'd get him in under the franchise tag or whatever they had to do this year, and then he'd be gone. But sources say they're close to a five-year deal.
Yeah, that's true. And I just saw a little thing just before we came on. Well, a little while ago, Jason Lockenfour said that, you know, there actually were some rumors floating around that it was a done deal, that he said that's not true. Nothing is imminent.
Nothing imminent, so there we go. Well, if it's not imminent, it must not be. So I guess, what do you take from it? Maybe they're talking, I don't know. But with the new offense coming in, as we talked to Patrick Johnson about a few episodes back, going to have to get into camp and learn this offense. Or it could be, even if he does show up late in camp, this could be a lost season for Mike Wallace.
Oh, it sure could. And that was one of the things that was really enlightening talking to him during that, just how involved it is. Even, you know, take away the whole new OC and offensive scheme, just coming in, and even if, like, say, Bruce Arians was there for yet another year, there's already more new plays and terminologies to learn, just, you know, as that offense would evolve. But this one's brand new, and he's really going to be missing the boat if he doesn't show up.
Yeah, I think a very, very different offense than what Bruce Arians was running. So something to put them behind there. More talks of signings. You mentioned again before we went on the air, Rick, that Maurice Jones-Drew rumors abound that he may be close to an extension, so hopefully that is true and they can get him into town early and in plenty of time. And we'll get more into Maurice Jones-Drew as we get into the breakdown.
Yeah, I have a lot better feeling after, you know, some of the rumblings recently that he might be holding out, starting to feel a little better. He's going to be in camp. And, I mean, that's just good news fantasy-wise. Now you have Rice and Forte signed, and now things are looking good for MJD. The premium on running backs, you can't afford to have these guys sitting out. I mean, it was scary with Chris Johnson sitting out last year, and somebody paid the price for drafting him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think a lot of fears going into this year with that list of names you just threw out there, I think that's starting to go away. It's starting to shape up, looks like, at least at the running back position. You'll have all the major players in camp, and maybe we can get to the business, barring injury, we can finally get to the business of ranking some players.
Yeah, that's true, and we'll be putting some rankings out real soon. You know, we had a interesting story that I came across.
Judge of that.
Pardon me?
I said I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, well,
Christine may be overselling it a little bit.
It had to do with Houston Texans and Dwight Jones. He doesn't report to camp. And if you recall, Dwight Jones was the guy that declared himself to steal the draft, and he wasn't even drafted.
He's
going to be the next Andre Johnson, even though no one else was making the comparison. And he didn't bother to show up to camp, and because he's not sure now if he wants to be a football player. So, you know, I'm sure Houston's hinging a whole lot of hopes on this guy.
But I'd like to get back to, you know, you don't have to be Mel Kiper, but can one declare themselves the steal of the draft? I wasn't aware of that.
I don't know. I guess you can.
Well, I'll tell you this then, Rick. I am the steal of the podcast world. Let's put that out there now. Let's get it on a T-shirt. Let's let it happen.
Yeah, let's put it with your picture. That'll really draw them in.
Draw flies is what that'll draw. So since you're talking about the Texans, I say that's a nice smooth transition. That's what we in the business do, make smooth transition. Let's start out our AFC South preview right there. And I think quite easily what the first name you bring up is who's widely considered the number one running back, the number one player overall in fantasy football is Arian Foster.
Yes, indeed. Arian Foster has everything going for him, and I expect his numbers to be just as big this year, and so do a lot of other people. He's the number one rated player in the ADP right now. So when training camp starts, and if he stays healthy, I see big things with him. If Schaub stays healthy, and maybe Andre Johnson stays healthy as well.
Yeah, I think that's the big question. For this entire team at all the skill positions, Matt Schaub coming off injury concerns, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, both continual injury concerns for both of those guys. You look at guys like Ben Tate, Derek Ward's gone. Yeah, it's interesting, and I'll tell you what, and you and I are going to have this debate. We have actually been awarded the first pick in a draft we've been invited to join, and as you know, our rankings have come out. I'm more a McCoy guy based on that injury thing. Obviously, you're a Foster guy, and I'll tell you why, Rick. Number one, the injury, but I do think, and this may sound stupid after what he did last year, the way Ben Tate performed, why wouldn't they give this kid more carries?
Well, yeah, I mean, your point makes sense to me, but look again, even though, he had that hammy last year, Foster did, and when he came back, he came in, guns loaded and ready to go. And, I mean, Tate got to 900-some yards during the course of the year, but it was still Foster's show. And, I mean, they're just not going to bench that talent.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. But if you have a guy with injury concerns, why wouldn't you work in the guy who can come in and average? What'd he end up averaging last year? Tate, 5.4 yards a carry, a full yard per carry more than Arian Foster did. I mean, look, I'm not making the argument that Foster isn't the number 1A, 1B guy. If I'm saying McCoy's the 1A, that's a silly argument to have. But I think, the next question then, when you talk about that, you draft Arian Foster, clearly you need to get a hold of Ben Tate. My concern is how early are you going to have to draft the Ben Tate?
Well, exactly. We've talked about that, many times. A lot of times you have to draft ahead, you know, or too early, you know, for the handcuff. And, you know, that's just the thing. If you want that handcuff, you better be prepared to take Ben Tate much earlier than you really want to.
Probably too early for a handcuff would be my concern, which might be one other thing, just in being conservative and being a sissy, to be quite honest, that I might try and stay away from Arian Foster. But I think legitimately the injury concerns are something you have to watch out for. You almost, not quite to the level of Darren McFadden, but you almost have to plan on being without this guy for, what's fair, 3 weeks out of the season?
I don't know. I mean, he had that little injury problem last year. I don't think it was all that severe. It's not like he's got blown knees or pins in his feet like Bradshaw. And, I mean, you know, he still rushed for 278 yards. He had 1,224 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns. Hey, 54 catches for, 677 yards, another three. I'll take that.
Oh, yeah, no question about it with that production. I think it's just a matter of is he the number one guy? Probably a question we're going to see a lot as we get closer to the draft.
And I guess you'd have to ask yourself, you know, getting away from this division just for a second since we're covering that, you know, do you think McCoy is going to have as many touchdowns as he did last year? If so, then, you know, maybe so. I'm just thinking that he may step back just a little bit, you know, nothing significant, but then that puts Foster up where I want him.
Yeah, oh, no question about it. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to win many arguments regarding not drafting Arian Foster. That's a silly argument to make, and I wouldn't do it either. So let's move on from that. He is who he is. We all know that. Here's a guy I found an enigma in doing a bunch of mock drafts. I've seen Andre Johnson go in as early as that, around the turn at the end of the first round, early second round. I've picked him up in the middle third round of some drafts. I'm myself not real sure what to make out of Andre Johnson this year.
Well, I think people are getting a little gun-shy, to be honest with you, and rightly so. I mean, he's been injured basically, I think, 3 years in a row now, and that makes people worry.
Yeah, I mean, it's been his whole career, and it's the nagging stuff, and the same thing with Foster, nagging stuff, hamstrings, toes, silly things like that. But it's a guy, I think if you're getting him dropping late in the second, early, mid-third round, I think you're getting tremendous value there, even with the injury risk.
Yeah, and, you know, still in the ADP things that I've seen, he's still right around, you know, 2.06. So, you know, nobody's getting too scared of him. And, I mean, if a healthy Andre Johnson is, you know, much more attractive than Dez Bryant beating up his mom, you know?
Well, yeah, there was no assault there, his mother's come out and said. So that's alleged. You have to lead that with alleged now. That's what you in the business do.
Yeah, okay.
But talking to Andre Johnson, you're back to that. You know, you say 2.06 is an ADP. I don't know if I would do it there with the injury concerns. Here's a guy coming off a year with only 33 catches, 492 yards. Now, obviously, he missed a significant amount of games. When healthy, I'd slot him. If I knew he was going to be healthy, I'd slot him right in at number two, you know, right after Megatron. However, I wonder with that, and my other concern is you look at this team, they are completely devoid of a second wide receiver. Why wouldn't a team triple cover an Andre Johnson?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, case in point last year with his injury, you know, leading receiver for the team was Owen Daniels with 54 catches. And, you know, then again, Schaub wasn't in there as well. Now, a healthy Schaub certainly translate into a much healthier pass game. And, you know, I know what you're saying. You got, Jacoby Jones, Kevin Walter is still around, I believe. And, you know, you're right. There's not a whole lot of other options. I mean, Foster is the next best option after him.
Yeah, you know, that definitely increases his value, the 53 catches last year. And, but you look, you know, the depth chart I'm looking at, you got Andre Johnson, you got Kevin Walter, who's always one of those guys you'd think this may be the year. I think I'm past that. I'm not going to fall for that anymore. Here's a guy I always took a lot of late-round flyers on, thinking that was going to pan out, especially considering Johnson's health issues, and it's just never panned out for him. And then I'm looking at third, you got a Devere Posey and a Keyshawn Martin. I wouldn't know Devere Posey if he walked up, smacked me in the face and said, "Hi, my name is Devere Posey." So
I like Devere Posey. I mean, he's that kid out of Ohio State they got in the second round this year.
How could you like him? He just slapped me in the face.
Well, that's why I like him, because he slapped you in the face. But, no, I mean, you know, I...
Z-Bull on the chat room is vehemently yelling Lester Jean guy, so apparently Z-Bull's a Lester Jean kind of guy.
Okay, there we go, Lester Jean.
So enough of your DeVere Posey, Briggs, it's Lester Jean. That's an interesting name, but I think that's the point. You got all these guys, you know, young guys, rookies, you know, opposite side of Andre Johnson, you know, by and large.
Yeah, and that's right, Jacoby Jones is gone. I had forgotten that as well, too.
Gone, yeah.
Oh, Z-Bull just told us that. There you go. Thank you, sir.
Z-Bull is on it. He is our stat guy.
I'll have to respond verbally because I can't do two things at once.
If you're chewing gum, you'd pass out right now.
Exactly.
So looking at that, I think the point I'm trying to get back to, all of that in tandem with the injuries actually is scaring me away from both Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I like Schaub's chances. You know, I hope that Liz Frank's okay. I think he's still priming. And I don't know. What they did last year with him missing as many games, if he stays healthy, I mean, they could be a real powerhouse offensively.
Oh, and especially in that division, such a weak division. I think it's 75% they should probably run away with it. So, you know, and that'll factor in as well. So I don't know, not a lot more to talk about with the Houston Texans. It sort of breaks down to those three. I guess I am curious, is Matt Schaub, you know, if you want to talk about a standard league, is he a top 12 QB? Is he a starting fantasy quarterback for you?
I have to wait a little bit longer into camp and see what he's looking like, you know, how that foot is. If he's healthy, I think yes.
Probably the bottom of that is sort of what I'm thinking. That
true.
Maybe more upside guys. But, again, here's a guy who has big potential. You can get in the late rounds if you're not spending the early pick on the top three or four guys, if you include Cam Newton in that discussion. You know, a guy you can get seventh, eighth, ninth round. I don't know what his ADP is. It may give you top-end value.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we just have to keep an eye on the health of him and his mobility and so forth as well. But he could be a great value later on in the draft.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's move on past the Houston Texans. We beat that one to death. Break down to a team years ago that was where all your fantasy statistics came out of. This year, it's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, as we like to say, the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, that's not a real mystery. They're not very good. I guess the first thing comes to mind, of course, is the first-round draft pick, Andrew Luck. And, you know, do you see any value in him?
No, other than dynasty-wise, no. And, you know, being, you know, we're talking about being on Blog Talk now and watching the chat room and being in chat rooms. I was in a discussion last week, I believe it was, maybe the week before, some guys talking about him being a top 12 guy this year. Look, the kid's got a ton of skill coming out of college, but how often is a rookie quarterback devoid of the type of business Cam Newton did last year have any value? I don't see it coming into a bad offense right now as a rookie. I want no parts of him outside of a long-term keeper league or a dynasty type of situation.
Yeah, and I mean, you have Andrew Luck, and then you bring in the running back Donald Brown. You know, word comes out he's, you know, in every down back. I'm not buying it. I want no parts of him either.
No. Here's a guy, again, this is going to be one of those, it's hard to talk about. You're going to have to see what happens in camp, see what happens, how that shakes out, if they're going to do an RBBC, if they're going to give him the job. Look, if they give him the job, at least right off, initially in the season, he's got value just because how many every down backs are there in the NFL right now. Long term, do I believe he can do it? No. Here's another one of these guys you've taken a late round flyer on 3 or 4 years in a row, and it just hasn't happened. And I'm not looking into it any more than that this year, especially knowing, you know, it's not like when Peyton Manning was there. Why wouldn't they face 8-9 in the box sometimes with his rookie quarterback?
Yeah, that's true. And Donald Brown has certainly had his health issues as well, like his predecessor in Joseph Addai. I don't know if it's something in the water in Indianapolis, but they can't seem to stay healthy.
Soft running backs in Indy ever since Edgerrin James left.
And then that brings you to, you know, Reggie Wayne is Reggie Wayne. You know, he put up a few numbers last year with that debacle at quarterback last year. He's still worth having on my squad.
Yeah, I think no question. And probably for the first year in a long time, you can probably get some value out of him. You know, coming off of a tough year, you know, still pull down 75 balls, 960 yards. Number that scares me a little bit is only the four touchdowns. I would think he could improve on that. Still going to be the number one guy. I guess my concern is, you know, you have Austin Colley and he doesn't have that talent surrounding them that he did a few years ago.
Yeah, and you got to bear in mind the Colts only had 14 passing touchdowns last year. And, you know, that doesn't translate into very good stats. But, you know, Curtis Painter and Dan Orlovsky, at least, are not going to be running the show there. So I think his value goes up some.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Would you be comfortable with him as a low end, too, if you waited for your receivers?
Yeah, I think so. I think I would be. You?
Yeah, he's right around there, maybe a three, a good flex option if you don't have a running back to play in the flex option. Like I said, I'm just scared of a rookie quarterback. You look at what Peyton Manning's done over his career. Think back to his rookie year. I think Cam Newton's given us all this false sense of, you know, security with a rookie quarterback. That it's just how many times before that, how often do you spend a pick and play a rookie quarterback, either in the NFL or especially in fantasy football?
Yeah, that's true. Do not like them. But we just got a little note here. You know, Curtis Painter shirts say I'm the steal of the podcast.
Wear it, I'll send him one.
I like that.
Actually, we could make a T-shirt and put Painter's name on the back of it. We could do that. We'll get one out to these guys.
You know, then you look at, like, the Colts draft. Of course, you know, they got Luck first. But, you know, Clark's gone. Tammy's gone. So their next two picks, they take tight ends. You know, they get, you know, Fleener out of Stanford who played with Luck, I guess. You know, the kid's pretty good, so maybe they wanted some continuity there. And then they turn around, the very next pick, they take Dwayne Allen out of Clemson, I believe it is. And, you know, the kid's sort of rough around the edges, pretty big kid. I guess he's got a little mean streak in him. But, you know, there's two of your top three picks going to a tight end, and I hope they plan on using them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'll tell you what, I'm actually high on Fleener just because – when you're a young quarterback, you tend to have a safety blanket in a running back or a tight end. Here's a guy he's comfortable with. Obviously, guys, good hands. You know, they work well together. They already have a connection. I think this kid could have some success right off the bat this year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're going to have to. I think he's probably going to be a safety valve for him to start with. And I just can't see the running game being any big threat. So he's going to be catching quite a few passes, I think. He may be worth a late-round flyer.
I think no doubt about it. I think this kid could work himself into a top 12 role. And, again, you know, one thing we've been talking about with all of these is my unwillingness, and I believe yours as well, to spend that first and second round money on Gronkowski and those guys, and even Gates has question marks. There's a lot of question marks out here. Here's a guy you can grab really late in your draft that I think could pan out and give you, well, not equal value, but I think a guy who could be very serviceable probably is the main target for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I just don't see – I mean, I'm looking at Fleener and maybe Wayne – coming out of there, you know, I see Brown sitting on my bench maybe as a reserve. And, you know, Collie's health always worried me. But, you know, there's not a whole lot there in the Colts, I don't see.
Well, no, and look, you've heard of Austin Colley because he had the opportunity to play with Peyton Manning, who could make anybody for a week or two look like a solid fantasy producer. It's just the skills aren't there and nobody to get the ball to them. Yeah, it's sad we're sitting here breaking down a division for fantasy football and there's really nothing to speak of when it comes to the Indianapolis Colts. I still can't wrap my mind around it.
Well, wrap around it and let's move on to Jacksonville, which, you know, it looks like, you know, MJD may be reporting to camp. It's certainly not for sure, but it's a lot better news. So, you know, I don't know. Jacksonville, you got Blaine Gabbert. you know, they don't have the Blackman's been nothing but headlines since he came into the draft, and it's all been bad.
Just pled guilty to a DUI today.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if MJD comes to camp, at least we'll have something to talk about there in Jacksonville. If not, it's maybe slimmer pickings than Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough to find anybody there. I think the first thing we got to talk, obviously we're going to talk Maurice Jones-Drew, and you know how I feel about him. You know how I've always felt about him. If anybody out there doesn't, go back to some of our early episodes. I made some predictions that made me look foolish later in the year, but I still stand by them. Here's my concern with Maurice Jones-Drew, whether he gets in camp, whether he gets moneyed up or anything. Yeah, he's little, he's a little bowling ball, everyone says. But here's a guy last year that 343 attempts, 343, 300 I consider a lot. And if you look at the statistics show, boy, I can't talk tonight. A guy gets over 300 carries. He tends to struggle that next year. Not only did he get 343 carries, he already also caught 43 passes. They are just running him to death. And with Blaine Gabbert there and for all the problems you mentioned, they're going to continue to do it. I have legitimate fears about this kid breaking down.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. 343 carries, the next highest on the team was Kareem with like 83. He's not getting any breaks in there. And, you know, they're not getting the job done. I mean, Kareem had a 2.1 yards per carry. I mean, that's junk. And Gabbert's passer rating was like 65. So you know what they're doing. I mean, hats off to him for being the NFL rushing champ because, you know, they knew where the offense was going through. At least he was getting the yards. But you're right, he's going to break down sooner or later.
Yeah, you know, and it just scares me. And we were talking about some ADP before we went on the air, and you said you saw this guy going as high as sixth among running backs. Skill-wise, the numbers he puts up, it's hard to argue with. I don't trust him. I still feel like we'll get back to this another time, maybe when we do our draft preview or our running back breakdown. I'd like to get some game logs. Last year may not be a good example, but in years prior, he's one of those guys who seemed to put up his number in 5 or 6 weeks, and there's a lot of those 27 carries for 84 yards kind of weeks, which really scare me and really bother me. And on a team this bad, you could see a lot more of that.
Yeah. And, I mean, the thing that gets me, you know, you have Jennings basically as a backup, or Kareem. I don't even know if Kareem's on a team this year, if you're going to make a team. But, you know, if Jones-Drew breaks down, I mean, they're not winning anything. I mean, they may be as bad as the Colts are when they lost Peyton Manning.
They're not winning anything with him.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, there's just not much there. Look at the wide receivers. You know, how do you rate any of them?
Well, I mean,
Gabbert throwing to them.
Yeah, that's the problem. You bring Laurent Robinson in after that spectacular year he had last year in Dallas, but Blaine Gabbert ain't Tony Romo. Maybe that's a very easy statement, but he's just not. I see Robinson, any value he had. Look, good for him. He had his good half a season. He got his money, moves on, but I think it ends there. Blackman, you know, all the skills in the world, has the same quarterback issue, plus he has his off-the-field issues. You know, Mike Thomas, a guy, sort of seemed like on the edge of breaking out every year if they had legitimate quarterback. I'm just that low on Blaine Gabbert. It drives the whole team down. It makes it really hard to talk about.
No, it's true. That is a disaster to talk about. I mean, we probably should have did this division first and got rid of it.
Got it out of the way because this is a terrible show.
But, I mean, Justin Blackman in the ADPs that I've seen is the highest Jacksonville-rated wide receiver, and he's like 10.1.
Yeah, and that seems high to me. I mean, I guess if you were in a dynasty league, you know, there'd be some value there, or keeper leagues, but just nothing this year. I'm not touching him. You won't see me at 10.1 coming anywhere near him. So Mercedes Lewis, obviously some value there as a tight end. Again, back to the point we made with Fleener. You know, you got a young quarterback who stinks. He's going to lean on his tight end. Lewis has the ability, you know, to make some plays. Again, he's sort of spotty. 39 catches last year, 460 yards. I think the real issue, never found his way into the end zone. So he's always been, for 2 or 3 years now, he's been that bye week fill-in when your tight end's on bye or if he gets hurt, no more than that. And I really think that's the whole breakdown of their whole team. bye week guy, other than MJD, bye week guy if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, and there's precious few of them in that lineup, to be honest with you. But, you know, I think we move on to, and I think other than MJD, the brightest point on Jacksonville is maybe the defense.
Yeah, yeah. And,
of course, thank God they signed Josh Scobie, so, you know,
well, yeah, that's
franchise him.
Josh Scobie will save the franchise, so we're really flying through this, Rick, but I think we keep moving. We got everybody in the chat room is falling asleep, so let's move on to Tennessee. A little more interesting out in Tennessee.
I think I just heard somebody's head hit the table.
That was mine.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, Tennessee's a little more interesting. They've got I'm very high on Chris Johnson this year. I got him rated number four in my running backs right now. And, you know, I'm looking for a big year from him. And I'm leaning towards you with, you know, I'm liking Jake Locker a lot better, what he did towards the end of the year. I'm liking this kid, you know, to end up as a starter this year.
Yeah, I think I don't know about coming out of camp. I think he has a legitimate shot. This seems like one of the few, other than the Cobb Skelt, one of the few 50-50 deals going into camp. You know, I just like what I saw out of him last year. But look, let's start with Chris Johnson. You look at his numbers. We looked at last year as a miserable failure. After the holdout, guys, this guy still was going in the late first round. Still ends up with 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns, a really down year for him. You know, like you say, you have him at 4. When you say that, what I'm interested in with you, I'm not quite as high. I see him more 5, 6. You know how I feel about Ryan Matthews, but we won't have that fight again until we break down the running backs. You say you have him at 4. Where does he fall in the? Obviously, that's probably a first rounder. Where are you at in your draft that you're comfortable taking him with that first round pick? How low are you going to have to be?
Oh, you know, I take him. I mean, I'm a running back guy, and if I'm, I'll be honest with you. If I'm sitting around 6 or 7, I'm taking him.
6 or 7, really?
Yeah. I do. I think he's going to have a big year. And I mean, that's just based on his past. I mean, last year, you know, was not a good year. But I'm all on Chris Johnson this year. And yeah, I mean, I may take him as high as 5. I could see taking Rodgers ahead of him. You know, I mean, I'm going
Calvin Johnson.
Maybe Calvin Johnson. I don't know if he would or not.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
That.
What's that?
Defend that.
I don't think Calvin's going to have 16 touchdowns this year, for one thing.
Okay, what if he has 13?
He might have 13. Chris Johnson might have 12 or 13 as well, rushing.
It's
plus catching.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to argue. In the upside-down world of the fantasy running back this year, it's tough to find. He's probably as close to a sure thing after those top three as you're going to find. What made me nervous, and I don't know if it was scheme-wise, of him being out of the loop, but, you know, as we mentioned earlier, the things we talked to Patrick Johnson about, what happens when you miss camp, what makes me nervous, he looked slow to me. I don't know if the splits would prove that. He looked slower coming off the offseason and the injuries. He didn't look like the same Chris Johnson to me. He didn't seem to have the explosion he did that year that he made somebody champion of somebody else's league, if you recall.
I'm waiting on training camp. I mean, he's planning on being, you know, he says he has this plan on being bigger, you know, and he's talking, what, about 6, 7 pounds, something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. But
don't you wish you were such an athlete that 6 or 7 pounds would make a difference?
Yeah, really. And I just can't, I mean, if he's training that hard, you know, to worry about that little bit of weight and put on some more muscle and be stronger, the speed's going to be there. And I'm not buying second-round pick on him at all. No chance.
Well, yeah, I don't see him falling to the second round, but I don't know, 7 or 8. I think there's guys, and I'm with you. I'm a runner.
I was responding to one of the chat room guys. I can't type and talk at the same time, and I was talking, so I answered it.
Late first, early second. I don't know. It depends what you consider late. 8, 9, I think. I think he slips in there. You could call that late first. If he falls to the early second, I'm diving all over that one.
Oh, there's no doubt. But, yeah, I like that. Love the Mafia. You betcha.
Absolutely. I'm sitting here. I'm wearing that do you call it a bracelet? What do you call it? What's the manly thing to call that thing? Is it a bracelet?
It's cool. That's what it is.
It's cool. I think you just named this week's episode. Thank you, Rick.
There you go.
So let's move on. Let's get to the wide receiver position. Well, you know, let's go back to the quarterback position. Either way it shapes out, I think you're probably even there. Hasselbeck has the experience. I like Locker's arm better, younger, healthier. You know, I think we agree, like we said, Locker's going to win that job. I don't think it's a big upgrade up or down with him or Hasselbeck. So going to the wide receiver position, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about it. Anyway, I don't think any doubt Kenny Britt's going to find himself suspended. So who do you see Nate Washington sliding back into the role? And he put up some, he had some nice weeks last year. Could you see Nate Washington being a number one fantasy receiver, or maybe even a number two, number one?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with him as a WR2. I'm not comfortable with putting him at number one. You know, he had a good year last year, no doubt about it. He had 74 catches, 1,023 yards. He had 7 touchdowns. And, that's a good year. I'm still a little leery of him. It's not, that's more of the exception than the rule with Nate Washington.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not sold on him as a wide receiver one, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you look at it, started slow, and a lot of that was Britt being there at the beginning of the year. What I like, if you look at the end of the year against the Bills, of course, our boys, the Bills and the Bills Mafia, shut him down, only 4 catches for 40 yards in December, but then 6 for 130, 7 for 62 and a touchdown, 4 for 71, 4 for 92. Not a lot of catches, but seems that, and he had that same role when he played here in Pittsburgh.
True.
In the deep ball, putting up some numbers. I'm with you. I don't know.
Don't forget Kendall Wright, too, coming in.
Yeah, maybe he's the guy, and Washington can keep that role as the deep guy. But I think there's value there probably for both of them. Again, we're sort of in a holding pattern. We're going to have to wait and see what happens with Kenny Britt. You know, and I'll tell you, Britt's a guy, look, if he gets suspended for 4 games, even coming off the injury, I'll tell you what, if this is a guy I can grab in the 10th, 11th round and have to sit on him through that suspension, I think there's probably still value there.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on the last show. You know, when he was healthy those few games last year, he was unstoppable. And the numbers that guy put up are well worth, you know, a draft pick. But you just have to wait to see what the NFL is going to do with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. And I believe his 8th arrest since he's been in the league or something. I don't know. You know how Goodell is. I don't know how Goodell doesn't just absolutely throw the book at him. So he could see 8 games. Then what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know if they're having a race to double-digit arrests or what.
It's great. This whole year's been that way. So you look at Kendall Wright. There's a guy who's probably going to have some value. Maybe even Lavelle Hawkins. We don't know how this is going to work out. Now, a lot of it's going to be precipitated on what happens with Kenny Britt.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I just hope that, Tennessee doesn't develop a quarterback, you know, controversy with Hasselbeck and Locker, because all that does is translate into crummy fantasy numbers, as well as the team usually doesn't do very good. And quite frankly, this team is the only competition for the Houston Texans right now.
Yeah, I mean, really are. And, you know, I like the quarterback play. I like the defense. I think last point with Tennessee, a guy I see a lot of hubbub about that out there this year is sort of your sleeper tight end and being Jared Cook. What are your thoughts on him?
Sleeper value. I'm certainly not going to race out there and draft him real high, but I like him. And, I think he's going to have some value later on in the draft. He may be one of those guys that, you know, can turn into a real good value, you know, if you get him, you know, late in the draft and all of a sudden, wow, there's some rapport with Locker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe back to that. There's another, if Locker wins that job, again, rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks tend to lean on the tight end. Could have value help Chris Johnson there in the receiving game as well.
Oh, indeed. And, that's what I want to see. Of course, I don't know if that I won't have him or not, but I'm really high on Chris Johnson. I just think that, wherever you get him, late first, early second, you better grab him quick.
Yeah, if he's falling that far, no doubt about it. You know, 6-7 where you said, I'm going to be iffy if I'm sitting at that 7 spot. Now, 8, 9, definitely 9th, I think. That's where it hits no-brainer territory for me. He just – Yeah, maybe I just feel burnt, but he scared me a little bit last year.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I'm looking at this division. I mean, we more or less hit on it. Houston's the offensive powerhouse. There's no doubt about it. They're probably the defensive powerhouse, too. They're going to take that division easily. Tennessee, excuse me, they had some weapons. You know, I don't know what the situation is with Britt and so forth. They have a chance. They're one of those teams. If it falls together, they could be competitive. And the other two, I'm avoiding both those teams other than maybe MJD.
Yeah, this division's tough. I agree with you. We probably should have done this right off the bat. Well, I'll tell you what, the good news with this division stinking so bad is we're going to have time, Rick. We have about 18 minutes left on the show. We have all this wrapped up. Why don't we go ahead and throw together an impromptu version of the game that's sweeping the nation, Fact or Fiction?
Well, why not?
Why not? So I'll tell you what, I'll start it out. I got the buttons here, so we're not...
I think we ought to ask for some, Fact or Fictions from the chat room, to be honest with you.
There we go, the hundreds and hundreds in the chat room, right?
Why don't you put the first one out there so that, you know, in case they're a little new to it, we'll know what we're doing. And you run the flat sound effects, and that's what we'll do.
Well, I'll start with something they've already been talking about then. Let's say Fact or Fiction, Santana Moss, leads the Washington Redskins in receiving this year.
Ooh. I'll sit here. I've got an answer, and I'll wait to maybe they pop in an answer or two. Is it Fact or Fiction? I'm going to say Fiction.
I agree totally, but you go ahead, because my answer is just going to be because I hate him.
That is a sophisticated answer.
Hey, I am.
I think he has run his course. He's like, he actually, named one of our podcasts, The Bad Penny That Won't Go Away.
That's right.
But I just think he's, he's basically run his course. I mean, you've got RG3 in there. It's new. I think he's going to be developing report. Yeah, I'm not going to say he's going to totally go away. He may have a few games, but I think he's run his course, and he's not going to be the major target of RG3. You know, who it is, it could be Garcon. It could be, Fred Davis, this first year especially. But it's not going to be Santana Moss.
Yeah, and here's what I see. Just name me a Redskins receiver since Art Monk who hasn't been a total disappointment since they wound up in Washington. I don't know what it is. You'd like to think Shanahan could turn that thing around. You like RG3's potential. I just don't see. Could Santana Moss be the one who emerges from the group? Maybe. Who knows? I don't care. I don't think any of them have a whole lot of fantasy value.
No, I don't trust the Skins. I just saw a thing today. I mean, we're on the Skins. Of course, it's totally off the question you asked. But they're talking about Roy Helu stock starting to fall because some report, from a Washington beat writer said that Hightower is now, planning on, is the starter. And
well, that's the least surprising news I've ever heard. Mike Shanahan doesn't know what he's going to do at the running back position. I think when we talked about the NFC East, that's what you face when you're dealing with Mike Shanahan. It's going to be Helu for a few weeks, and then 1 week he's not going to touch the ball, and it's going to keep changing back and forth. You can't assign a lot of value to any of those guys.
That's true. And there's another good point came across there from Z-Bowl Smoker. Hankerson could be the guy that develops a rapport with RG3. As far as receiving goes. Who knows? I just don't think Santana Moss is going to be that guy.
No, I hope not. Well, I hope he is because I'm going to draft him.
You'll have him, no doubt.
And then I'll hate myself forever again.
That's true. Okay. I'm waiting for a Fact or Fiction coming through, but I guess I will ask you one.
They're here to listen to you. You're not here to entertain them, Rick.
I thought that's why I was here, to entertain them. Okay, Fact or Fiction. Ahmad Bradshaw will have more fantasy points than Steven Jackson.
Oh, wow, that's a good one. I'm going to say he does. Health concerns, definitely. I'm not crazy about either one of them. I think Brandon Jacobs leaving town helps Ahmad Bradshaw. I know he's had the foot issues. He's been able to play through them. I think that's close. I think those guys rank. Actually, probably if I'm ranking them, I think right now I have Jackson ranked higher. But when you throw it out there, I've always been an Ahmad Bradshaw guy. You've seen what he can do when healthy, when he gets it rolling. I like what Eli's doing up there. I like the way that offense is working. It's going to be hard to justify, but I'm going to say just on a gut feeling, more on, you know, my expectations for Jackson are starting to drop. I'm going to go ahead and say fact.
Okay. And there's, you know, it seems to be evenly split, fact or fiction, in the chat room. I'm going to
say fact or right, though.
I'm going to go fiction. I'm going to go Steven Jackson.
And
this is why. I think this is basically his – This is a good do or die year for him. I mean, he's pushing the 30 mark, and he's got a lot of wear and tear in him. You got Jeff Fisher in there. There's a whole new attitude with the Rams, and I think he's going to be have a good year. And they're both injury risks, so you know you have to throw that away. You know whether or not Jackson can hold up or Bradshaw. We only can guess that, but I like him. He had 4.4 yards a carry last year, 1,145 yards. It was just a horrible team. I think they're going to be a lot better, so I'm going Steven Jackson.
All right. Well, let's move on. We got time for a few more. Here's one, and this is going to be more of a precursor to something we discussed it a little in the past. We're going to discuss it a lot when I throw out my rankings anyhow. Fact or fiction, Vernon Davis has more fantasy points than Rob Gronkowski in 2012.
Say that again.
Vernon Davis has more fantasy points than Rob Gronkowski in 2012.
I know your answer to that. And I'm going to have to I tell you what, it's very close in my mind, but I think I'm going to go fact.
Oh, we're going to agree on one. Go ahead.
I think it's really close. I don't know. I'm really tossing up about there. I mean, you got the wide receivers shoring up there in San Francisco, but I just don't think Gronk can have the year that he had last year. I mean, that's just totally ridiculous, and he's got to come down to earth some. And New England's got some receivers too, so I think it's going to be close. So I'm going with Davis.
Yeah, you know, and I'm right there. That's why I asked the question. I actually thought you were going to call me stupid for asking that question. You know, we talked a lot about Gronkowski, you know, in the shows recently. It's just the point we've made. We've had guests on who have made the point. They bring in Brandon Lloyd. Welker's coming back regardless of how well everyone's going to get along there. He's still going to catch his touchdowns. I just don't think you're going to see those huge yardage gains. What I saw out of Vernon Davis last postseason, and he's had stretches like this in his career, and then he's just completely disappeared for stretches. But what I saw out of him in the playoffs, you remember how many years ago was it when T.O. was out there and had that playoff run, and it just propelled his career. Sometimes those postseason runs can do that to a guy. This is just a gut feeling. Look, the guy's a physical freak, number one. Like Graham, like Gronkowski, you can't match up with this kid. I think he's faster than all of those guys. I think he's developed that rapport with Alex Smith. Harbaugh likes him a lot better than Singletary ever did. I just see this, you know, keeping that momentum from last year's postseason rolling. I think this guy, yeah, I think Jimmy Graham's obviously still going to be number one, but I think Vernon Davis slots in right about number two for my tight ends.
Okay, that's what we got then. So, okay, Miles Austin will have more fantasy points than Dez Bryant.
I don't think so. You know, you worry about Dez Bryant. I don't know. Is there a suspension coming? Assuming they both play equal games, I really feel like, I know there's injury concerns, just a gut feeling. I saw flashes last year where I think Dez Bryant's ready to break out and be an elite receiver in this league. And I think pending any suspensions or anything like that. I really think Austin, with the injuries, took a little step back last year. I like Dez Bryant. I think if healthy and in the lineup, I think he's ready for a breakout.
Well, that's a possibility. I'm going. You're right. I mean, Austin does scare me with the injury, and I really do hate agreeing with you.
Well, you have to. I'm right all the time.
It just kills me. But I think I'm going Miles Austin. I think I'm going to go fact. I think Miles Austin does have more points than Dez Bryant this year.
Wow. Based on
their similar size, he missed six games last year. Miles Austin did. But let's face it, Dez Bryant missed 4 2 years ago, and he missed a game last year.
Yeah, always a health concern.
You know, and I like Austin's, previous years that he had. You know, look, he was targeted, 124 times back in 2009, 119 times in 2010. I mean, he's a big-time target in Dallas, and Romo likes him. If he stays healthy, he's getting his catches.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue. I just think skill-wise, size-wise, I like the way I like Dez Bryant pending the suspension. I can't make much more of an argument than that. So let's move on. We go out there. How about, here's one we always talk about. Fact or fiction, D'Angelo Williams, I'll make it fair for you. D'Angelo Williams is a top 16 fantasy running back this season. I gave you some wiggle room there.
Yeah, because, top 12 isn't that. Okay, top 16 makes it a little bit closer, that's for sure.
Makes it a mid-level number two.
Yeah. I really like D'Angelo Williams, but I just don't like the way he gets used. I still think his workload has to increase with the contract he got. He's pushing 30 years old. They got to get some use out of him or they'll never get it. I can't put him in a top 16 running back
though. All right, good. You were trying to talk yourself into it real hard.
I know. I just can't. He should be. Let's put it that way.
That we can agree on. The guy in the right situation could be a top 12 fantasy running back, definitely NFL running back. We talked about it last week, though. They brought in Tolbert. Cam Newton's getting the goal line carries. He's still splitting carries with Jonathan Stewart. I think just the workload's going to be – we won't spend a lot of time on it because we talked a lot about it last week, but he's not going to get the touches that he needs to be anything more than a bye week fill-in for me.
I know. I mean, well, I had him last year, and then towards the end of the year, he put up a few numbers. And it's kind of like, sinking a birdie putt in the last hole. It makes you want to come back the next day to play, even though you shot a 95. But I don't know. I don't know if I can trust him. I wouldn't hesitate to have him on my bench, the RB3, no doubt, but I don't know if I want him as an RB2.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I would love to have him in that role. Here's a guy you can get late stash. Maybe Stewart gets hurt. Maybe, has anyone floated the idea? I don't know what everybody's contract situation is, but you bring in Mike Tolbert. Maybe they're going to call him a fullback, but you already got D'Angelo Williams making all that money. Possible Jonathan Stewart isn't even on that team when September comes.
Well, there were rumors out there, that he was up, to be traded and everything, but that never happened. So, by all reports that I've seen, it planning on being Stewart and Williams again.
Yeah, that's a lot of money wrapped up in that running back / fullback position with Cam Newton taking half the carries. You almost wonder if one of those guys would not be there. I think that may change my opinion on D'Angelo. He's still going to be low because he's not going to get the goal line carries. He's not going to see the end zone very often.
Okay, I'm going to bring up one that you like. You're one of your buddies.
My buddies, my boys.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Sean Green will have more fantasy points than Willis McGahee.
No chance. You know how I feel about Sean Green. And really, people have softened me on him. There's some guys who like him a lot more than I do, and I'm starting to come around now that LaDainian Tomlinson is gone. However, I'm starting to develop this tiny glimmer of a little man crush on Willis McGahee. I love everything that's happening out there in Denver. I think, what do they say, a rising tide raises all ships? Or isn't that something you old people say? How do you say that?
Shut up and talk.
Shut up and talk. That doesn't make sense. And now we have a new name for the show. But, you know, I just think everything, Peyton Manning being there makes everyone better. I like Willis McGahee, and honestly, I like him as maybe a low-end, I won't call him a low-end one, but as a solid number two running back this season.
Yeah, I like both of them, to be honest with you. McGahee's, you know, durability is in question. Of course, you know, I don't know about Sean Green's, to be honest with you, but we know McGahee, you know, has a few troubles, but I really like what Denver's doing. And with Peyton Manning back there running the show, I really like McGahee. However, well, that
everything before however is BS, remember.
Well, that tells me that Sean Green is liable to get used a lot more than McGahee.
That's true. Yeah, that I agree with. That, you know, we're just giving that job to McGahee as fantasy guys. There are other guys there that they like, so that is something we have to factor in.
Yeah, so on that note, I am going to go Sean Green.
Wow, okay, so that's bold, you know, and I like it. And listen, Green has been a constant letdown, and as they pointed out in the chat room, of course, there's going to be 2 weeks where he scores 0 points because he has to play Buffalo twice, so you have to factor that in as well for all our friends in the Bills Mafia. But, again, how many times have we talked about how rare is it to have a guy in every down back in the NFL? And I think Green almost by default, I think they're on the same level. But if I'm sitting facing needing a running back, those are my top two. I'm going McGahee there.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I think it's very close. And McGahee had, you know, 249 rushes last year, and he only missed one game. So he certainly proved us wrong that way. I mean, you know, maybe he's one of these kind of guys that's kind of like the Frank Gore thing. It's like, oh, you know, I'm scared to death. He's going to break down, and yet he keeps trucking along.
Keeps going. May miss parts of some games, but keeps going. Well, Rick, that was fun. I had an impromptu version. We're about two and a half minutes.
I think we need a fact or fiction that has something to do with Buffalo.
we're going to have to make it quick. How about this? Fact or fiction, C.J. Spiller leads the Buffalo Bills in rushing this year.
Fiction.
Closer than you might think. I'm still worried about Fred Jackson, and I like what I agree with you, but I think it's closer than you might think. It sounds ridiculous, but I think it's closer than you might think.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be dominated by Fred Jackson because, you know, Spiller proved himself last year when Jackson broke his, what was it? I think it was his fibula, I think, which is a nasty break, but the thing I like about it is it was a broken bone and not torn ligaments.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Fred Jackson's on the wrong side of 30. We all know that. But this guy, he's a workhorse. He's always in shape. And I tell, oh, there's Gertrude.
There she is, our girl, telling us.
Anyway, I like Fred Jackson. It's going to be, I think it's going to be more around 60, 65 to 40, 35, something like that.
I'm seeing more of a 60-40 split than the 80-20 we saw at the beginning of last year. I'll agree with that. So let's wrap it up, Rick. We're going to be back, I believe, on Friday. Yeah, Friday at 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio and on the podcast. You can find it at asylumfantasyfootball.com. I believe we're going to release our podcast.
We have to figure out how to shut her up.
Well, she's telling you when to shut up. You can't shut her up.
They I don't want to shut up. This is fun.
Her, so you don't even know. They don't even know what you're talking about. So that's it for this week. It has been fun. We will be back, like I said, on Friday, breaking down the running backs. In the meantime, hit us up on Twitter at Asylum Football. Check out the website asylumfantasyfootball.com. It's been a good time. We'll see you.
Cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing a little pretty. Little tan leg Georgia dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, it's gonna
be a party out of town about half a mile.